Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. If you follow my work, it won't take long for you to hear me reference Microsoft as my ride or die stock. And if you're not familiar with the term, it basically just means that this is the one company that I would choose to ride out just about anything. If you forced me to pick literally one stock in the world to own for the rest of time, Microsoft would be my immediate answer. Go and have a look at the list of the top 10 most valuable companies in the world just before the global financial crisis. Aside from how shocked you'll be to see the energy stocks up there in the list in abundance, you'll also find that Microsoft is the only tech company in the top 10. Google only just made it into the top 20, and Apple was down in the 30s, obviously depending on the exact year you choose to look at. Today, Microsoft is still right up there, with positions chopping and changing for the podium spots with Apple and, of course, Nvidia recently as well. There's just one energy company in the top 10 list in the form of Saudi Aramco. How things have changed, but also how consistent Microsoft has been throughout that change, and that really does say a lot. Now, just because something is resilient doesn't mean that it can keep growing. It doesn't mean that Microsoft is going to generate great returns for me every single year. That's not realistic. In the past 12 months, it's only up 5%. Over 5 years, though, the compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, is 19.5%. And it's even more crazy over 10 years, with a CAGR of 26.1%, as the world accepted the shift to software as a service models and embraced cloud computing. Of course, a return like that is not just because of earnings growth. There is plenty of multiple expansion here. 10 years ago, Microsoft's PE was 17x. Today, it trades at roughly double that level, with a PE that hangs around the low to mid 30s. In fact, over the past 5 years, the PE only went as low as 23x, and that is still way above where it was 10 years ago. It peaked just above 40x in the last 5 years, so that also gives you a pretty strong idea of the range. The important point here is that multiple expansion is exactly why the share price is around 10x higher than it was 10 years ago, despite earnings per share being around 5 times higher. That means that roughly half of the return has come from multiple expansion. And of course, my expectation is not that Microsoft is going to achieve that kind of compound annual growth rate each year, because I'm not assuming that kind of multiple expansion going forward. There is a practical limit to it, because the inverse of it is the earnings yield, and even a company as great as Microsoft still needs to offer a high enough yield to investors to compensate them for taking equity risk. So then what is my expectation? Well, over a long time horizon, I expect Microsoft to outperform the broad market index and to do so by a strong enough margin to justify me having single stock exposure versus having everything in an index ETF. At the end of the day, that is the test I apply to any long-term holding. There's literally no point in holding something that you think will underperform the index, and there's definitely no good reason to hold something that will perform in line with the index, because you're taking on single stock risk and not getting enough of a reward for it. So where do I think that performance will come from? Simply the underlying strength of Microsoft's business. Although the market reacted negatively to the latest earnings, this was a week in which the entire AI market was thrust into chaos by the emergence of DeepSeek. New technologies will come and go, just like they did for the past 10, 20, and even 30 years. Microsoft's track record in surviving and thriving is the best you'll find anywhere, so I am confident that Satya Nadella and his team will find a way through it. Also, if we dig into the latest earnings, it's pretty clear that the current pressure is really coming from one place: the sheer extent of investment in infrastructure at Microsoft. And honestly, I can think of worse places for a company to be spending money than on infrastructure and R&D. You see, Microsoft is effectively the shovel in the AI rush, if you'll let me borrow that term from the shovel in the gold rush. Unsurprisingly, one of the analysts on the earnings call asked Satya Nadella about DeepSeek, because of course this has really been all the rage this week and trying to understand what it means for the likes of Microsoft and its positioning in the market. In answering the question, Nadella referenced the laws that define how computing power improves over time and how this drives innovation and efficiencies. He also acknowledges some impressive innovations at DeepSeek, but most of all, he calmly talked about how the proliferation of AI can only lead to one thing: more people using AI and paying for it, just like how the transition from on-premises servers to cloud led to more people using a server environment, albeit now with a different name and structure. How many of you are still just saving everything locally to your computer? Very few, right? Although Microsoft has a strong relationship with OpenAI, Nadella is also no fool. He's there to build out a platform that will win from overall AI growth, not just growth in OpenAI. Sam Altman is under pressure here over at OpenAI, as he does not have an unconditional blank check from Microsoft for growth. Nadella is a lot smarter than that. The impact of all this investment in CapEx is that Microsoft is now starting to look more cyclical than before. They have to spend on capacity without knowing exactly what the demand will be or when it will come through or exactly where it will come from. It's also a lot more lumpy because large AI clients can really move the dial at this point, whereas something like Office 365 just ticks up at a decent rate and with reasonable predictability. Microsoft has doubled data center capacity in the last 3 years as they've built up Azure, so we are talking really big numbers here in terms of CapEx. Not only are they more cyclical in profile, but there's also then this burden on cash flows and depreciation. For example, in the latest quarter, cash flow from operations was up 18%, that's a pre-CapEx number, but free cash flow, that's after CapEx, was down 29%. And from an income statement perspective, this year's CapEx is essentially next year's depreciation as you start to write off those data centers. Although the underlying mix of products and services at Microsoft has been favorable for gross margin lately, that might not happen every single quarter, and if revenue takes longer to come through than expected, then sure, we could see pressure on gross margin. The latest quarter saw revenue growth of 12% and operating income growth of 17%, so margins went the right way, but earnings per share was only up 10%. So yes, it's double digits, top and bottom, but at the current PE, that's not really fast enough for the market. To justify this level, there needs to be an uptick in earnings per share. Luckily though, it's not just new AI models and exciting innovations carrying the can here. There's a lot of good stuff already there at Microsoft. The broader cloud and data story is great, of course, with Microsoft Fabric now the fastest growing analytics product in Microsoft's history. Microsoft 365 Copilot is how Microsoft is taking AI to its huge enterprise user base. Remember how Teams suddenly became part of our lives because of how easily it integrated into Office 365? The same is happening right now with Copilot. LinkedIn, the most annoying platform on earth for me at least, continues to grow. Short form video is their fastest growing content format on the platform, and subscription premiums are now over $2 billion in annual revenue, with year-on-year growth in revenue at LinkedIn of 9%, a very solid little contributor. Another area of growth is in browsers and search, with Edge achieving over 30% market share in the US on Windows devices. Although they are still miles off fighting Google in that regard, the trajectory is decent. And in gaming, the focus is on higher margin content and platform services, which definitely helps the group gross margin story. This, of course, is exactly why they acquired Activision Blizzard, because the money is to be made in the games themselves, not the hardware. They are in a transition phase in that business, which is why revenue fell 7%. Gross margin dollars, i.e. the actual gross profit, was up 13% though, so it shows you exactly why the margin mix is just so important. You can have less revenue, but more profit. And thankfully, there is light at the end of this CapEx tunnel. They expect CapEx for the third quarter and the fourth quarter to be in line with the second quarter, which is the one they just reported on. They then expect the rate of growth to slow down in FY26, that's the next financial year, as they get through the worst of the expected CapEx spend on their long-lived assets. They also note that the spend in FY26 will be more closely linked to revenue growth, so that's quite encouraging as well. Along with solid control of group overheads and very modest growth in headcount, for example, this bodes well for improved margins and hopefully therefore less pressure on cash flow. The share price is very range-bound currently. Recent lows around $400, highs around $460, but the tighter range that it's been bouncing between is $415 to $445. I'll let the range traders do their thing while I look ahead to what Microsoft is really building here. And if that range breaks down and Microsoft drops below $400, the next stop on the chart is probably around $375. I will happily add to my position at those levels, assuming the weakness is from general AI jitters rather than something structurally wrong. And for my ride or die stock, I think it's pretty unlikely to be structurally wrong. If anything, it's going to be a little bit of market weirdness around all these expectations in AI, and Microsoft is doing what I think they need to do to prepare themselves for the next decade of growth. I'm still very happily long here. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.